Hi, I'm Andrew, and I'm here at the Global Academy in Hayes, on the site of EMI's old vinyl factory. This factory would have once produced over 55,000 vinyl records a day. EMI was home to Beatlemania in the 60s, and was the starting point for some of the world's most famous bands and singers, including Pink Floyd, and the Beatles. Love, love me do. It was also home to technology that would soon shape our world, from medical revolutions to keeping our country safe from the threat of invasion. This is a story of EMI. EMI had three different record labels. Columbia, who were signing acts like Frank Sinatra. Fly me to the moon, let me play. His master's voice signing acts as big as Elvis Presley. And Parlophone, who mainly signed comedians such as Spike Milligan. And the biggest performers at the time like Matt Monro. EMI were looking for something new to bring to the music industry, and in Liverpool, Brian Epstein, an eager music manager, was keen to get his band recognised and took them to Parlophone. The Beatles instantly became a hit, selling millions of albums globally. It was with the help of EMI music producer George Martin that they recorded 8 singles and 4 studio albums within their first 2 years. John Lennon from The Beatles gives us an insight into what it was like working with George Martin.
It's hard to describe a relationship. You know, they either say Martin did everything or the Beatles did everything. It was neither one, you know. George had done little of, no rock and roll when we met him, and we'd never been in a studio, so we did a lot of learning together. He had a very great musical knowledge and background, so he could translate for us and suggest a lot of things, which he did, you know, and he'd come up with amazing technical things like slowing down the piano and playing it slow and putting it on and things like that, you know. Here comes the sun,
But it wasn't all success at the start. Martin King, who is in charge of the Beatles story in Liverpool, tells us more about how the Beatles started out.
First of all, they didn't go to a music school. People ask me, because they come from Liverpool, what football team did they support? And as kids, they learned guitar chords. They were not kicking footballs around. Much as they were interested in girls, they spent more time practicing chord progressions. And they got into music with an early form of folk music called skiffle, long forgotten. But people say you can write rock and roll tunes with 3 chords. You could actually start performing skiffle with 2 chords, and that's what they did. They started off like anyone else in Liverpool, not very good. Yeah, I'm saying the Beatles were not very good. They were called the Quarrymen at first, they were called the Silver Beatles, they were called Johnny and the Moondogs. They went through iterations before they became the band that everyone knows.
George Martin was the driving force behind the success of the Beatles. Their manager, Brian Epstein, arranged to meet George Martin in February 1962, where he heard the first auditions that were sent to Decca Recordings.
What I said to Brian was, if you want me to judge them on what you're playing me, I'm sorry, I have to tone you down. And he was so disappointed. I felt really sorry for him, actually, because he's an earnest young man.
And you must have liked him, then.
I did like him. And I said, but I tell you what, I gave him a lifeline. I said, if you want to bring them down from Liverpool, I'll give them an hour in the studio, OK?
It was after this meeting that the Beatles were famously rejected by Decca. It was on the 9th of May that Epstein and Martin agreed a contract for the Beatles at Abbey Road Studio in St John's Wood. The contract was agreed without Martin meeting the band or seeing them perform live. Martin King of the Beatles story tells us more about the Beatles being signed to Parlophone.
Well, if you look at the history books, the rest of the world had rejected them. I mean, Decca famously said, and we know the guy who said it, Dick Rowe, actually said, oh, guitar bands are on the way out. You know, he was saying this in, you know, the early 60s, just as guitar bands were definitely on their way in. I mean, it has to be George Martin credited with that. Trained musician, but pretty much the Parlophone label. He was recording Peter Sellers and Comedy Records. You know, Bernard Cribbins, Right Said Fred, you know, My Boomerang Won't Come Back, those sorts of comedy records. So you could say it's a bit counterintuitive that he would see something in the Beatles.
In the entire career of the band, the Beatles made millions for EMI. But George Martin was a normal staff member. He never got a pay rise for his efforts with the band. Martin King explains.
Yeah, and if you look at the recording contracts at the time, even as artists, The Beatles didn't get that much per single either. But yeah, he was a staffer. That changed part way through the Beatles' career. George actually, and in many ways, that they created what's the modern music industry. He did have his own independence, and he did start to get paid a greater amount. But all the way up through to the mid '60s, certainly he was just getting the salaryman pay of an EMI producer. Yeah.
It was in 1966, and the Beatles were on tour in the USA during the Summer of Love, and they were playing at San Francisco's Candlestick Park at the peak of Beatlemania. It is said that the fans were screaming so loud that drummer Ringo Starr couldn't hear the music. He was relying on watching when the other band members moved to follow the music. It was due to this and the conditions of touring and being escorted everywhere that the band made the decision to quit touring and focus all their time working on studio albums. Following this performance, they released Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and five other albums, including Abbey Road and Let It Be. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band had just been released to the public, and in its first day it sold 250,000 copies and spent 197 weeks in the charts, and 27 of those were at number one. This album in particular was nothing that had been heard before, and even the album cover was expensive to make. There were 13 songs on this album, and 8 were inspired by events and pictures found in newspapers. Paul McCartney tells us what it was like recording the album.
By the time we came to make Sgt. Pepper, we were getting a lot more freedom, artistic freedom. So we started to incorporate more of the kind of crazy life that we were living at the time into the music.
They wanted the album to sound different as they added in music of different cultures and styles, which is said where the newest musicians got their inspirations from. They created new stars which hadn't been heard before. Shortly before they started to record the album, they decided to stop all live touring as it wasn't working for them. They would have preferred to work on their studio recordings rather than live performances. They started recording this album in November 1966, and they wanted to push the limits of modern recording and give the audience something new and fresh. Between the producer and the band, they were experimenting with multi-track recording and other techniques. Sgt. Pepper is definitely the most famous album the Beatles released. And as well as making music, the Beatles also starred in their own movies. They released 5 in total, which were A Hard Day's Night, Help, Magical Mystery Tour, Yellow Submarine, and Let It Be. The film title was decided from the different album that it was associated to.
Today, Pepperland goes blue.
The baddies take the joy and the sound from the world. And we're brought in to help get it all back. And the battle ensues and we win.
There have been lots of speculation during 1968 and 69 as to what would happen with the future of the Beatles. The Beatle-making Prince of Pop, Brian Epstein, died at the age of 32 when he collapsed over an accidental drug overdose.
Well, I don't know what to say, you know, we've only just heard and it's hard to think of things to say. But he was just a beautiful fella, you know, and it's terrible.
What are your plans now?
Well, we haven't made any, you know. I mean, we only just heard, haven't we?
Yes, it's, you know, it's much of a news to us as it is to everybody else.
Could I ask you what advice he offered you?
He told us not to get overwhelmed by grief and to whatever thoughts we have of Brian, to keep them happy, because any thoughts we have of him will travel to him wherever he is.
John Lennon had privately told the band members that he was leaving, but there was no public statement until the 10th of April 1970, as Paul McCartney revealed that he was leaving the band. It was in 1970 that the Beatles officially split up. The members went their own ways and started producing their own music and albums. But over their entire career, the Beatles made 13 studio albums and changed the way music is recorded and produced. They were certainly an inspiration for all other bands across the world. I'm Andrew, and for more Choice, search Youth Choice GA on social media.